whenever we get this short gospel, people are always expecting something more. It's so short that it's ended before people even realize the priest started reading. And it ends so suddenly with this shocking statement, he's out of his mind. One time somebody teased me. He said that whenever there's a short gospel, I give a very long homily. I don't know if that's true, but what I'd like to do here is connect these readings to the theme that was chosen for today. This is the last of the thematic masses that we, of the list of themes that we set up last year, Jesus Christ, our High Priest. The theme certainly does not come from the Gospel. It comes from today's first reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Those of you who follow the daily liturgy might notice that the way that the first reading and the Gospel are connected helps us ponder both of them. This is the richness of liturgical life. Sometimes the first reading and the Gospel seem to be making a similar statement, a kind of a parallel, they build in the same direction. Sometimes there seems to be no connection at all. Sometimes, and this is the case today, they seem to be opposite or contrasting. So here, the Gospel has the relatives of Jesus saying that he's out of his mind, and the first reading speaks of Jesus as the eternal high priest who has passed into the heavens, the heavenly tabernacle. Quite a different interpretation of who Jesus is. He's out of his mind, or he's a high, eternal high priest. If you know the writings of C.S. Lewis, you might know that he mentions a third possibility. Not that he's out of his mind or that he's divine priest. The third possibility is that he's evil. And this is what some people thought during Jesus' ministry. They thought he was possessed by the devil. So C.S. Lewis, the great apologist, Christian apologist, says you only have three options. Either he's who he says he was, he's really Son of the Most High, he's God, or he's really evil because he's claiming and doing things that no one has a right to do, or he's out of his mind. Now, his relatives here, they're not going to say he's evil. They're just saying, have pity on him, he's out of his mind, we'll take care of him. Assuming these are people from Nazareth, we can recall that some other people in Nazareth took a much harsher view of Jesus. Remember when he went to speak in the synagogue in Nazareth, people got so angry at him that they wanted to kill him. They thought he was evil. So some of the people of Nazareth take the position that he's out of his mind. Some take the position that he's evil and he has to be destroyed. Apparently, not very many people in Nazareth took the correct one of the three, that Jesus is God, Son of the Most High. Mary, of course, is the one who is the first to believe and the greatest to believe, and she believed it before he was even born. Okay, so we set aside those two errors, that he's out of his mind or that he's evil. Excuse me. And we focus on the theme, Jesus Christ, our High Priest. This is clearly at the center of today's first reading. Jesus is the High Priest of the good things that have come to be. Now, when we hear about a priest, Catholics, when they hear about a priest, they usually think about priests like myself, priests who serve at the altar, because we're used to seeing priests when we come to Mass. So when we think of priests, that's what we think of, Catholic ordained men. Other Christians who don't have priests, they might think of a passage like this and say, we have a priest, Jesus Christ. He's our one and only priest. We don't have any other priests in their gatherings. People who are not Christian, though, tend to say, what do you need a priest for? And many people who have no religion nowadays, are not affiliated with any church, they say, well, why would you ever need a priest? If there is a God, why don't you just talk to him yourself? If there is a God and he expects you to do some sacrifice, well, then just do it yourself. Why do you need a priest? That's what a lot of people would think. Now, I talked about that earlier this week, so I won't go into it. The Jews did not think like that, or the Hebrews. This is letter to the Hebrews. So people who are deeply rooted in the Jewish religion, they believed in priests, not because they thought somebody came up with the idea, but because God told them, I'm assigning some people to be priests to serve. A whole tribe, one of the 12 tribes, was a tribe of priests. And they're supposed to do specific sacrifices on specific days in specific places. If you look at the Old Testament, there's lots and lots of rules for priests and what they're supposed to do. So, when we're talking to the Jews or talking to the people of the Hebrew tradition, nobody thinks there's no priest. They think either you're a priest like is described in the Old Testament or you're not a priest. So along comes Jesus. He's not from the tribe of Levi. And he's not offering sacrifice in the temple. So they say, well, then he can't be a priest. The letter to the Hebrews says, no, there's another possibility. There are the priests according to the old law. There are those who are not priests. And then there's the priest according to the new law. The new covenant, a new order of priesthood. Not Levitical priests or descendants of Levi, but of the order of Melchizedek, a heavenly priesthood. A new law, a new covenant, new priesthood. And this is what today's reading tries to make clear. And it mentions, first of all, what the priests of the old law did. Well, they would run things in the temple. In the tabernacle, they called it the holy place, because before they built the temple, they had a holy place that was a kind of a tent. And in the holy place, there's a table for the holy bread, there's a place to burn incense, there's a place to offer sacrifice, and then there's this inner section where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. It was called the Holy of Holies. Nobody went in there. Nobody went into the Holy of Holies except the high priest. One of the many priests was designated each year or for a certain period of time as the high priest. And he was the only one who was allowed to go through the curtain or pass the veil and go into that place, the holiest place in the world, in front of the holiest item in the world, the Ark of the Covenant, and offer sacrifice. And he did that once a year. So he would enter the Holy of Holies with the one sacrifice once a year for all the people. You know there's a high priest because anyone familiar with the story of the Passion remembers who the high priest was when Jesus was crucified. It was Caiaphas, remember? Caiaphas was the high priest that year. And Caiaphas said, it's better for one man to die for the people than to have everybody suffer. Remember that? And Caiaphas, who was in charge of the one sacrifice in the Holy of Holies, who was the one designated to speak for all the people before God, he says it's better for one person to die than for everyone to suffer. That's not really true. You shouldn't make people die for the sake of others. But prophetically, it was true. The high priest was actually, in spite of himself, was speaking about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the one who would make an offering for all people. Not an offering of the blood of bulls and goats, but his own blood. And this is what this passage in the Hebrews, letter to the Hebrews, is chapter 9, he says, Okay, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and offer the sacrifice once a year. But when Christ came as the high priest of the good things that have come to be, when a new high priest of a new order comes along, listen to what he does. He doesn't enter into the Holy of Holies in the temple. He passes through the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made by hands. That's heaven. What's not made by hands? Made by God. The heavens. Not belonging to this creation. He entered once for all into the sanctuary, into the Holy of Holies in heaven, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. So what the high priest of the old law did, gained ritual purity for all the people. It was a kind of cleansing, but mostly symbolic. Once it was done, the people said, okay, we have fulfilled what is required, what God has expected us to do in reparation for our sins. But it didn't really take away sin. It was just a sign of how sin would be taken away. When Jesus comes along, he fulfills this and fulfills it in such a way that it transcends this world. It goes into heaven. This is how the reading says, if the blood of goats and bulls can sanctify people who are defiled, if it can sanctify them in some limited way, how much more will the blood of Christ cleanse our consciences from dead works to worship the living God? We don't ask the question, why do we need a priest? That's what secular people question. Why do we need a priest? We know we need a priest because we know that we are defiled. Our consciences are defiled. And we, by ourselves, can't cleanse ourselves. We need a cleansing. And God has provided the perfect solution to our problem. The perfect offering, the perfect sacrifice, the blood of the immaculate Lamb, the spotless Lamb of God. Jesus is the high priest, but he's also the victim. He doesn't offer something else, he offers himself, because there isn't a greater offering to be made than God himself. When we honor Jesus, our high priest, we honor priest and victim. We rejoice that some solution has been provided so that we can be cleansed, spiritually cleansed, eternally cleansed. Sure, some people will look at this and say, well, you're out of your mind. A lot of people look at Christians and say, well, it's too bad. They believe in all those old-fashioned myths. They're out of their mind. Some people look at Christians and say, they're evil. They're getting in the way of what's good, getting in the way of progress, preventing us from living freely and happily. Christians, are they evil? Christians, are they out of their mind? No. Christians belong to the one true God, Jesus Christ, our high priest. And the offering of Jesus Christ is made present for us. Remember, this is the offering in heaven. The offering that Jesus offers to the Father in heaven, in the Holy of Holies, this same offering is made available to us right here in the Mass, on this altar. He breaks down the curtain, tears the veil. There's no separation now between God and man, between the Holy of Holies and the defiled human family, because Jesus has opened up that veil and united God and man, and he makes it possible for us to experience this union with the Eucharist on this altar. So we celebrate Jesus the high priest because he has made this perfect sacrifice, but also because he keeps making it available to us every time the Mass is offered. It's an extraordinary, extraordinary gift. We will continually run into people who think that we're out of our minds, or that Jesus was out of his mind. or that the church is out of its mind, or people who think that we're evil. Tomorrow, you know, we're going to read the passage about the call of the first apostles, the first, Peter and Andrew and James and John. Were they out of their minds? Were they out of their minds to follow Jesus? Was Jesus out of his mind to call these poor fishermen? Why does he even want them? Not out of his mind. He's God present in the world, making available to poor fishermen and poor people of Las Piñas and everyone else, making available to us the divine sacrifice that sets us free from sin. This is what we celebrate when we honor Jesus Christ, our High Priest.